from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Hanging out, filling in for Matt Spiegel today. Again, he is going to be on pre and post for the Cubs. That'll start right around 12:40 here on 670 The Score. First pitch, 1:20 p.m. And the Cubs are doing some cool stuff, man. The Marquee Sports Network premieres their latest episode of Cubs Flicks. It's going to be tomorrow on Monday after the Cubs postgame coverage. It's going to be featuring some cool stuff like never-before-seen home movie film from like late 20s through the 50s. It's also got some footage of Cubs stars like Ernie Banks, Hack Wilson, Gabby Hartnett, so many more. And then, like the icing on the cake is that it's narrated by Hall of Famer Pat Hughes, the one and only. The first episode premiered on opening day, and now you get a brand new one tomorrow. So make sure you guys are checking that out on Marquee Sports Network. All right, so Ozzie Guillen got hot about Lance Lynn. And it seems like, man, people can't keep Lance Lynn's name out of their mouths lately. I don't know what's going on there. And I get it. He's maybe somebody who welcomes it. But take a listen to Ozzie. Just Ozzie being Ozzie.
Dude, I didn't even eat breakfast yet, guys. Save it. Save it, Lynn, because when you was pitching like crap in April, nobody ever showed you up. By the way, this is not the first time. You have 12 seasons in the big league. You're the glue of the ball club. You're the captain. The people look up to you. You got to stop doing that. You got to stop doing that. If you want to get to the playoff, stop doing that. By the way, you want to talk to me, I'll be there Tuesday. I don't want to apologize to you like somebody out there.
It fires you up seeing how
No, because, man, listen, right now they're in a good position to take over. Now you see this for the 10, 12-year veteran, yeah. The glue of the ball club. I love the way he talk. I love the way he expresses himself. I love the way he go by his business. But when you see this, no matter who you are, what you do, that's a no. Not because Moncada. People say, oh, you just say because Moncada is your boy. Against anybody.
Yeah.
I got a problem with Alec Fernandez. I stress it right away. You got a problem with me, I have a problem with you. And I make it one error. One of the best shortstop in the league, because I said, oh, really? You want to show me out? Next ground ball here, I throw it right to the stands. Now you have men on second base. Say something.
Okay, first of all, damn. You want to see me? I'll be there on Tuesday. And I ain't going to apologize to you like somebody else did. Of course, he's talking about Steve Stone apologizing to Lance Lynn earlier in the season by saying he needed to eat a salad. And then Ozzie, of course, referencing the fact that, you know, Lance Lynn was showing his frustration towards his teammate, Yoan Moncada, after an error. But he brings up a great point. You're the glue of the ball club. People look up to you. You got to stop doing that. I mean, okay, we're opening up the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Would love to hear, like, whose side are you on this? When you see a pitcher showing up a position player after an error, are you in agreement with that, with something like that? Like, you're like, yeah, you know what, Moncada, you know, he's making, or guys themselves, the defense as a whole is making too many errors. And so sometimes you wear your emotions on your sleeve and people get to see it. And Lance Lynn is not one of those guys that's going to hide his emotions. So do you think that, you know, Lance Lynn has the space to be doing something like that? Or do you think Ozzie's right? Calling out a guy like Lance Lynn for being in that space and handling that way. Take your Sox thoughts as well. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. I mean, Lance Lynn is kind of like the, for me as a Sox fan, Lance Lynn is the guy that you really don't want to call out because veteran guy, probably kick your ass anyway, to be very clear. You know, vocal, outspoken, and you know what he's capable of. And he's kind of done it this year, right? If you're looking at, you know, from his very first start in March all the way up to May 5th, that's how long it took him to get his first victory. And in those six starts, I'll just give you his hit output from the first to the last one in April before he got his victory. 3 hits, 9 hits, 7 hits, 10 hits, 5 hits. That's what he was giving up. Gave up 8 earned runs, his second outing, but he was striking people out. And that literally is like who Lance Lynn is in that space. Someone that is extremely capable of getting out batters, getting out of tough jams, but at the same time putting his team in peculiar situations where he is giving up runs and you're just not sure who you are going to get. Might have a bad first 2 innings and then pitch the next 4 flawlessly. But then since May, that's where he's picked up his 4 victories and has gone at least 6 innings in 4 out of his last 5 starts. Still giving up hits, you know, scattered out, striking out guys at a high rate. And command is, I mean, he did have 5 walks his last out, but the command is, it's always been all over the place. But again, that's what you get from Lance Lynn. If your expectations for Lance Lynn is to be, you know, a super solid number 3 starter, look, we saw what happened when he was in the playoffs and he was tasked with putting the team on his back to be the ace. Didn't necessarily work out well. And you felt in that moment, this is not the dude that you want to lean on, you know, to get 2 starts, let's say, in a series if you were going through a 3-man rotation. Can he get you the victory? Can he put together a gem? Absolutely. This we know. But guys don't necessarily want to play hard for you when you're calling them out and having those that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I get what Ozzy is saying and wanting to come down on a guy like Lance Lynn, because the biggest struggle for the White Sox over the last couple of years, at least one of the biggest storylines, is the inability to have a leader. And Lance Lynn struggled with that when he first got here because he was new to the team. He could have stepped up in that role as a veteran, you know, calling guys out like a Dallas Keuchel did when he was here that year. But the way to do it is, that's not the way to do it. Now you're here, now you've had some years with the White Sox and you can be that leader. There's no Jose Abreu. But if you were watching Johnny Cueto last year on the bump, guys wanted to play for him, play hard for him, because he made you feel good. Elvis Andrews, those guys make you feel good. They get you the pat on the back and they make you want to play hard. So I can see where Lance Lynn's situation, you know, where he's, you know, doing something like that to Yoan Moncada. I mean, and to be very clear, I mean, it was a dribbler, right? That's why he was frustrated. It was a dribbler. Yoan was veering to his left towards second base as he grabbed it. And it should have been like a routine kind of a thing. But Lance Lynn, he wasn't so demonstrative. It was just a hands in the air kind of a thing. He says the F word. I'd be pissed too. If it was a can of corn in the outfield and the guy misplays it, you saw Christopher Morel do that, you know, yesterday with the sun in his eyes. You know, sometimes those things happen. But if you want to be the declared leader of your team, you got to find a different way to do that. And, you know, he has been doing it by showcasing himself as a pitcher on the squad. But how would you feel, Leo? If you were playing baseball, playing third base, and you make a little error, and you seem like the guy that would take it, you would take it pretty hard.
I mean, I'd like to think that my teammates would have my back, that, you know, you move on to the next one and all that. So, like, yeah, I'd feel a little upset that somebody calls me out for that. Yeah.
But it's also like, if I don't want to say anybody's name, but let's say someone just comes down on you all the time. You know what I mean? And then if you make an error and they, you know, kind of throw their hands up and throw a curse word over there, you're probably not going to be as down. You know what I'm saying? Because you're so used to...
You tune it out a little
bit. Yeah, exactly. The guy's coming down on you all the time.
Right.
He's an emotional guy. So I think Lance Lynn is that dude where you're like, eh.
That's just how he is, yeah.
It's Lance, the bulldog. It's Lance Lynn. Yeah, I know you're going to be pissed that I dropped that. But you still probably love me.
Right.
So, Ozzy, I get it. But, you know, the thing with... Like, Ozzy's my guy, right? Love me some Ozzy Guillen. Theo. That's what I always call, refer to him as uncle in Spanish. I always refer to him as that. And... You know, what we as Chicagoans and as Sox fans love about Ozzy is that he'll always just keep it real with you. Like, he's not going to sugarcoat anything. And he does love this team. And he does want the best for these players, not just Yoan Moncada. He wants this team to do well. He wants Pedro Grifol to do well. I genuinely believe that. And so when he's ramped up, it's for a reason. Because he does want Lance Lynn to be the leader. Because he does want Lance Lynn to be the Lance Lynn that he knows he can be. The wily veteran that can eat up some innings and get you some victories and keep you in games. Like, this, that is a certainty. So I think the same way that I have expectations for Yoan Moncada to just blow off whatever Lance Lynn did in that moment, I have the same hopes for Lance Lynn to just blow off whatever Ozzy Guillen is saying in that moment. Because... he's right about those. Like, who else is that supposed to be, guys? When you're looking at, you know, the leader from that space. From the 219, says, Ozzy's right. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Love that one. 773 says, out of context, Ozzy is right. A pitcher should not do that. But in context, Lance is a veteran on the downside who can yell, can tell Johan that if he ever focuses 100%, he could be a top 5 player in the league. Johan, excuse me. That's hilarious. Because it's true. Like, it's a great text. From the 708, I love this one. Would Lance Lynn be cool if he gives up a homer and Johan throws his hands up or glove down and kicks dirt? That's great. I could only love... Oh, my God, I would love to see something like that. How you like this? Ah, oh, man. What a tough time to be a fan in either side of town right now. Because you just want good baseball. And you know both teams are capable of it. They're capable of it. Whether you're getting a Cease, Giolito, Kopech, or Lance Lynn, or even a Clevinger. You heard Chris Kamka talk about it. Like, he's doing solid for as a fifth starter for the Chicago White Sox. You look at the Cubs. See what they're doing? Stroman, Steele, Smiley. Like, that's a good first three. And then you got, you know, there's talent there. And I think that's the one thing that, as Chicago baseball fans, where our frustration is that we know there's talent. And a lot of time it might be overstated and overhyped. But we've seen it in spurts. It exists. So the frustration comes from the inability to be consistent. So there you go, Lance. You want to be frustrated at something? Be frustrated at the inconsistency of the team. Put your hands in the air when Joe Kelly can't get out of an inning. And after the Sox take a lead and everybody's hyped up, you know, you have one of those kind of outings. Another one from the 773. Lance is a punk with a childish attitude. Hate his style of play. I hope every batter pumps their home runs for him. Oh, man. I don't want to call him a punk. That's harsh, right? Childish attitude. I mean, I get where you're saying that. I think he's just a fiery competitor. He's just a vocal guy. I might be that type of thing. You know, when I play sports, I might get mad at other people, but I still love you. But that's why I'm not the leader of any of the teams that I'm on either, right? All right, it's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, filling in for Matt Spiegel. He is going to be doing pre and post for the Cubs game. That's starting at 12:45 here on 670 The Score. He's also doing the fifth inning as some relief for the guys, so he'll be doing that as well. And he will be back next week. Let's be very clear. You don't got to deal with this every Sunday. Jeez, let's hope not. All right, you know, Oakland, if they don't get their stuff together, they might be out and about headed to Las Vegas. So we're talking about some expansion teams after the break and maybe what could be a realignment in baseball, something that might be shocking to most. But I have this question for you that I would love for you to call in on. Where would you like an expansion baseball team? What city? 312-644-6767. There's a handful of potential spots for some new teams, but I'm curious where you would like one. Is it Las Vegas? Is there some other cities that you'd like to go to see a squad? Maybe a city that doesn't have, you know, all three major sports franchises there and you want to see one added to it? But what's a city for you? I want to take your calls and pick your brain after the break. 312-644-6767, potential expansion cities. What does that look like for you? What are they? I would love to hear your responses. And then what is a potential realignment?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Alignment look like in Major League Baseball. We'll discuss all that on the other side, all right? It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel here on Hit and Run. We are going to be talking about potential destinations for new teams in Major League Baseball should an expansion occur. Also be talking about the A's and the Rays moving to some new places potentially. And then what would a realignment for Major League Baseball look like if there were to be some additions of some squads right here. But we are taking your phone calls and text messages. You know, where would you like to see an expansion team? 312-644-6767. You told me somebody called in a second ago, Leo. Who just called in?
He said it was Ozzie Guillen.
Okay. What did he say?
He suggested we put a team in Mexico City.
Mexico City. Okay. But you can't say Venezuela. That's where he's from. That'd be too far. People ain't going to go over there. But Mexico City, I could see that. DF, Mexico City has so many people. So many people. So I could see that. And I got to be honest, there's a handful of text messages that are coming in that's saying Mexico City as well. I mean, baseball's huge in Mexico.
And they played a series there this season.
Of course. You know, They always try to allure the fans down there, whether they're playing an Arizona Cardinals game in Mexico City, or they're playing, I'm talking about football, or a baseball set down there as well. I mean, I think Mexico City would be awesome. 815 says New Orleans. Ooh, I would love that. Because I was just talking about what cities have like two of the three major sports franchises in their city, and they're just missing one. New Orleans will be a perfect one. Got the Pelicans, got the Saints. And I got to be honest, New Orleans is one of my favorite cities in the country. So I wouldn't hate, you know, going down there for a little three-game set. If I was watching the Cubs or the Sox out there. I just don't know if their population is big enough. You know? It's kind of like a tourist destination, so you're going to get people trying to traveling there. But I don't know. It's a Saints town, that's for sure. From the 847s, somebody said Buffalo. Did that make you chuckle? Buffalo? I mean, I get it. They got the Bills. But I don't know if baseball would resonate up there in Buffalo. And it'd be too cold. You got to build a dome. It'd just be too expensive.
They have the AAA team there. Didn't the Blue Jays might have played there in 2020, I think.
During the COVID year because they wouldn't let people travel right. Back and forth to Canada. So, okay. But clearly that didn't work out. There was no momentum built for there. 630 said Havana. Cuba? ¿Estás hablando de Cuba? No, no me diga. You can't be talking about, like, that can't be a real thing. Got some text messages from the 815. Gave a couple of good ones. Vancouver or Portland. Now, I heard that one a lot, you know, getting out there. But Vancouver would be a good one, though. That'd be cool. Anything that can get me into Canada, I'm here for it. Toronto, I'm here for that. But it's just not going to work. They tried it. It's just not going to happen. It's going to be a city in the States. From the 815 said Nashville. Or somewhere in the Carolinas. Okay, I could see that. You got your college basketball fandom that exists there in the Carolinas. You got your football team there. Baseball would be good. Let's see. Nashville, there's a ton of Nashville texts coming in. The guy who said Havana said he's Cuban. I get it, but that's selfish by wanting a team out there, my friend. Nashville. Literally, like, so many Nashville text messages coming in. Somebody said, put a team back in Montreal. Nah. He said, Whitewater, Wisconsin. Oh, that's where he's from, Whitewater, Wisconsin. That's hilarious. Let's go to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Talking about expansion. What cities would you like to see some teams in? I'm going to read some stuff from Rob Manfred about, you know, expansion and the specifics of what those details were in just a second. But Jim in Downers Grove. So where do you think?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Where do you think MLB should put the Rays?
I think that the solution that they'd come up with, splitting the season between Tampa and Montreal, was perfect. I think MLB is so short-sighted for not taking advantage of what I think could be a great opportunity because of the regionality. They stay in the East as far as the American League is concerned. Maybe maybe that franchise could be supported consistently enough if they were only 3 month seasons.
Okay,
for each Tampa and Montreal.
I get it. I mean, I mean, when Major League Baseball bought the Expos and they were splitting their time between Montreal and San Juan, Puerto Rico, no one is saying that. No one's showing any love to my island of Puerto Rico. Maybe getting a team down there. Now, that would be crazy. Now, I talk about home trips back to the, or road trips back to the motherland. That would be something. But the Tampa Bay Rays, Orlando is looking at them closely. They either want a domed spot for them, you know, but Orlando got the money, bro. You know, you see the Orlando Magic with the little Disney logos on there, like, that's exactly what they want, is to be doing something like that. So I could see, but I got to be honest. I just think, you know, they don't want to go backwards and put a team back in Montreal. You know, the Rays are a good squad. They clearly do things properly. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what ends up happening there. But I do think they're going to move to Orlando. I think they're going to keep them in Florida. And we'll be able to see what happens there. So this is an article from Forbes.com. And it was about Major League Baseball's labor deal from 2022 to 2026, just a deep dive, and talking about how it allows for expansions to 32 teams. And in the article, it talks, you know, in depth about the fact that Major League Baseball wants to wait to see what happens with the A's and the Rays first. And so the heading, it says future expansion. That's the provision there in the labor deal. And it's just 71 words long. But they, Major League Baseball, understands that, you know, expansion just has huge implications. When you're looking at the business of Major League Baseball, profit sharing, what is it going to do to them? So that obviously owners want to make sure that it's not going to affect them in that way. But the provision reads in part like this. It says, notice of a decision to expand by two clubs shall promptly be given to the association, and the association may reopen this agreement with reference solely to the effect upon the players of such expansion upon giving 10 days written notice. And it continues, but, you know, Manfred said the expansion is something that he sees the league looking into. But again, like I mentioned a second ago, it's not going to happen until the A's and the Rays have new ballparks. And of course, the A's are being lured to Las Vegas, where the state treasurer, Zach Conine, and Clark County, where Las Vegas sits, have said that they'll fork over between $300 and $400 million to allow them to be in that space. And they said this agreement follows months of negotiations between the state, the county, and the A's, and I believe it gives us a tremendous opportunity to continue building the professional sports infrastructure of Southern Nevada. Mr. Lombardo continued and said, Las Vegas is clearly a sports town, and Major League Baseball should be a part of it. Now, the Bally's own Tropicana on the Las Vegas Strip is going to give the A's nine acres of land. I've cleared, there's a ton of space in that area. And it's equal to about $200 million in value. And that would raise the incentives by that much to try to get them to go over there. But still a ways away, trying to do a 30,000 seat stadium for them. But it's still a ways away. And I think, listen, as baseball fans, you love that kind of stuff. Expansion? Yeah, give me new teams. More players in the league. You know, but what is the realignment going to look like? With the universal DH, what is the differentiator now between the American League and the National League? Would it be an opportunity for baseball to reinvent and what they're trying to do, right? More eyes on baseball. Maybe create some more, or I should say new rivalries. And we'll be able to get to that in just a second. Let's go back out to the phone line. Let's go to Larry in Oswego. So, Larry, what do you think about the Tampa Bay Rays? Clearly, they're not going to stay where they're at.
Well, yeah, but the main problem, I've been to that stadium a few times, obviously, is access and the stadium itself and whatever the TV deal is. Has anybody ever suggested that they just move, like, maybe halfway between Tampa and Orlando? It would be an unbelievable people draw. And also, people going to Orlando could go, you know, go to work that in to go to the games, things like that. They could take advantage of all the travel and tourism, and at the same time, get a new stadium and have just make it a lot easier to get to and from the games.
It's a great, great thought, Larry. Thanks for the call. I just think, you know, I remember when the Miami Marlins built their brand new stadium because it was so far away from the city. I have a lot of family that lives in Miami. My dad is Cuban. And so, you know, ton of people out there. And people just don't care. Like, you see the Heat games. People aren't showing up till damn near halfway through the first quarter. Like, sports, it's just not the same. And so when you're asking someone to travel, you know, an extra, you know, hour to get to a game, I think that'd be a tough sell. And I got to be honest, I think Major League Baseball is more interested in securing the most amount of revenue possible. And so to them, it's like, hey, bro, are you going to Orlando in a brand new stadium where people can go to Disney World while they check you out, you know, be in a warm environment? Or are you going to go to a different, like, that's what they're most interested in. And so I'm glad that you've gone down there because you have a different sort of insight than I do. But I think that might be a tough ask. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, filling in for Matt Spiegel, Hit and Run. Again, Cubs baseball, Cubs Reds, the last of the three-game set kicking off at 1:20 right here on 670 The Score. Spieg is going to be doing pre-post and the fifth inning as well. So make sure you guys are tuning into him. Now, We talked about the what would a realignment look like for Major League Baseball. And, you know, in the Forbes article, they talked about a little bit where they say the league has already set into motion pieces that would allow for regional realignment. Now, that's crazy. It says where the American and National Leagues will become blurred. With the universal DH and balanced scheduling, placing NL and AL teams into 8 divisions of 4 based around regional locations become easier. Would you like a division where the Cubs and the Sox are in this? You would like that, Leo? I wouldn't like that.
I think it would just add a little something to the rivalry, because when they play each other twice a year now, it doesn't mean as much as those divisional games. It could make it a lot more, for us in the content business, I think it would be a lot more fun if we had more Cubs-Sox every year.
Let's open up the phone lines right there. I want to hear this. Would you like the Cubs and the Sox to be in the same division? There's going to be a realignment. Like, this is be clear. But would you want, I don't know if I'd want that. No. It's not that I don't know. I do not want that. Especially if, you know, as mentioned in this Forbes article, you know, it'll be 8 divisions of 4, kind of like how it is in the National Football League. But if the Cubs and Sox are eating up 2 of those, and let's just say you put the Brewers and the Cardinals in there as well, like, if that's your 4-team division, and I understand there's a balanced schedule, so it's not like before where you'd have to face the Cubs, you know, 21 times or whatever. I don't know. It just feels icky. I don't know. Something about it. Throw the Tigers in there. Put like the Cardinals, the Brewers, the Cubs, or excuse me, the Sox and the Tigers. And then put the Cubs in a different one. I don't know. This is not making me feel good, guys. I got to be honest. 312-644-6767. Curious your thoughts. Some other texts are coming in terms of where the expansion teams could be put. Somebody said Dallas. That'd be a good one. But Dallas is, they already got the Rangers, which is literally right next to where the Cowboys play. So it's already happening there. Somebody said San Antonio, Memphis, or Indianapolis. An indie team? I don't know. Memphis, as long as John Morant's not a part of this. I just want to throw that in there. Somebody said, put the Rays in Hawaii. Enough population there. Sure, it's just the travel for other teams when they have to get out there. From the 224 in regards to the realignment, Sox, Cubs, Brewers, Twins, I'm not a fan. At all. Do not put the Cubs and the Sox in the same division. Like, no, I do not want that. From the 847, somebody said, I think blood would be shed if the Cubs and Sox were in the same league or division. It's already bloodshed when the two teams face each other. Love this one from the 708. A World Series between two teams from the AL or NL. That's it. Every Cubs and Sox fan dreams of a crosstown classic for the World Series. And if they were in the same division, that would no longer be able to happen. I'm telling you, Sox, you need 2 AL, 2 NL. Sox, Twins, I'll take the Twins. Sox, Twins, Brewers, Cardinals. And then that way, you could throw in like the Cubs. Pittsburgh would be too far. Cincinnati would be there. So you'd have Cubs, Cincinnati. And then, yeah, you could throw in the Royals. Because you don't want to put the Cardinals and the Royals in the same division either. So you'd go Royals, right? Tigers, Cincinnati, and the Cubs. That would be a 4-1 there. Now, that sounds fun. 312-644-6767. Taking your calls right now. Let's go to Mike. Mike, what do you think about MLB and having a realignment where they blur, to quote them, blur the lines of AL and NL?
I don't think it's going to blur the lines for very long. It'll take about one season, and I think it might create some really good new rivalries. The NFL has done this, and I think it's worked out pretty well for the NFL. And by the way, I really like your show on the radio.
Thanks, Mike. And you know what? I love what you said about, you know, the four-team thing and mirroring that of the NFL, because you're right. 1 year removed, no one's going to care. Like, when you're looking at the Brewers or teams that have bounced around, you know, you know where they played, but you're not connected to it in that way. So that would be interesting. I would love, yeah. Thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. From the 269, said, I read an article about this a few months ago. MLB will not put both New York, LA, or Chicago teams in the same division. They want to leave a crosstown World Series possible. Well, hopefully your sources are better than mine. That'd be great. Ah, we can dream, though. We can dream. Man, that'd be crazy. I can't wait. I love things like that. Throw a wrench in everything. Universal DH, loved when they did that. Loved when they did that. Just because it was something you never heard of. Or purists would just get up in arms about. Pitch clock, love it. Give me something crazy. That's why I like alternate uniforms. Because I love the shakeup. Why not? All right. It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score, filling in for Matt Spiegel today. And, of course, Cubs taking on the Reds. We're going to talk a little Cubs baseball after the break, specifically about Kyle Hendricks. I'm curious where you're at, Cubs fans, about Kyle and his place on this team, this current team. Is there some sort of heartfelt connection you have to him where you want him back in the rotation and somehow spending his twilight as a member of the Chicago Cubs? Or are you prepared and ready to move on from Kyle Hendricks and get something in return? Where do you stand on that? Want to take your Cubs calls, 312-644-6767. Thoughts on Kyle Hendricks? What are those for you? Do you want to see him traded, or do you want to see him stay in a Cubby blue uniform until he finishes his career? I'm curious what you have to say, Cubs fans. I will take your calls after the break. Again, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score.
Yeah, just get back to my normal work, really. I've been doing a really good job in between from here, you know, the past couple weeks. So, yeah, it's just settling down, getting back into who I am, and from pitch one, when I go out there, just being on attack.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
That was Kyle Hendricks himself talking about, you know, just getting back in the swing of things. Of course, he had his first start, and it was actually better than I thought it was going to be very honest with you. I think that I expected him first of all, I thought he was going to be on a pitch count. I didn't think they were going to let him go over like 50. He ended up throwing 86 pitches, and I just thought to myself, like, all right, I'm here for the Kyle Hendricks comeback. And I posed the question before the break, you know, do you want to see Kyle Hendricks end his career as a member of the Chicago Cubs? Or with the wealth of pitching, starting pitching, that is, that the Chicago Cubs have, Kyle Hendricks, you know, finds himself in a logjam there. Do you want to see the Cubs, you know, get some assets in return? I think that'll be interesting to see. So I'm curious, thoughts are, our phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. You can also text the show as well. I'll just give you some Kyle Hendricks thoughts from the text line. From the 630, says they should let Kyle finish his career here. It'll be nice to have one of the champions retire a Cub. It's true. You know, let him be the wily vet that just kind of, you know, you never know what you're going to get from him, but you don't really care either because it's Kyle Hendricks. I get that. From the 815, says, if Kyle can be a solid fifth starter, then great, keep him. Based on his injury and how he pitched last week, I can't imagine getting much in a trade for him anyway. At this point, I want anyone who can simply pitch. I'm tired of starters getting rocked. Yeah, I mean, that happens throughout the course of a season. But I'll be honest with you. Every team wants a starter in Major League Baseball. Every team, if Kyle Hendricks is out there, you know, I think his fastball topped out at like 87, 88 miles per hour. Changeup was getting down to like 78, 79. So, you know, you see guys like Johan Santana with his, you know, fastball changeup combination. Like, as long as you're changing speeds, and what Kyle Hendricks does very well is attacks the strike zone from batters, you know, for batters in their eye level, right? He's hitting the top, he's hitting the bottom, and he was doing that, doing a really good job of that and that first outing that he made. So, you know, that stuff is it's tough. I think personally that they should try to get assets in return for a Kyle Hendricks because, as I mentioned, every team needs a starter, especially those that are trying to make it to the playoffs. And if they can solidify the back end of the rotation with a guy like Kyle Hendricks, they'd be willing to give up something. If they think that their window is now, they will. I'm not saying the Pirates would take a guy like that, but look at the Pirates. If they find themselves in the wild card race or they're still at the top of the NL Central by the end of the season, do you think they would love a fourth starter named Kyle Hendricks? Of course they would. So again, I think that the options are out there and it's to see, you know, what you can get from. But that's the question we're asking. You want to keep Kyle Hendricks or do you want to see what you might be able to get for him in a trade? Let's go to Kirk out in Buffalo Grove. So, Kirk, what do you think should happen with a guy like Kyle Hendricks?
You know, I think you give him a few more starts. You see how he does. Obviously, he's got to shake off some rust like he did on Thursday when he started. The thing is you say, well, if you can get some value from him, you know, he is probably a good fourth or fifth starter for a lot of teams. The problem is it a player to be named later in cash considerations? Because what does really a fourth or fifth starter bring on the trade market?
It depends on if they're a desperate team, right, Kirk? Like I mentioned, you know, like you're looking at the
absolutely.
Pirates and stuff. They have a good minor league system. And you know, what you're really hoping for is just something in return for the future, right?
Absolutely. The hard part, though, is that, you know, if he plays well enough and he does get better between now and the end of July, the trade deadline, is he a third starter in somebody's rotation? Then it's like, okay, this is a no-brainer. Then you have to unload him, and hopefully you can get a couple of good starting pitchers or maybe a reliever and some cash.
Kirk, what does that look like for you? I mean, if we're trying to see what a good Kyle Hendricks looks like, is it someone that's, you know, going five innings? Like, is that the ceiling for you? Or, you know, is it someone that can, you know, minimize their walks and keep the ground balls coming? Like, what does that look like for you when it comes to Kyle Hendricks?
I think you get five solid innings out of him if he's keeping his walks down. You know, we always compare him to kind of a little bit of a Greg Maddux. He's not got the speed, but if he's got the finesse and he can outsmart the hitters, then that's what we need. That's what any team needs. You know, we don't have to be throwing 100 miles an hour. You don't have to be throwing mid-90s because everybody's up there swinging for the fences. And so if you can get a solid five, maybe six innings out of him, look at the starting rotation now the Cubs have. How many of those guys are going six innings now or more? Heck, yesterday's game, Tyone got pulled after 4 2/3. I mean,
that's a tough one too because Tyone wants to get through five so bad.
Absolutely, he does.
So bad.
it was terrible. I was at the game and it was terrible to watch. It's like, come on, Ross, just let him finish out the inning.
I said it last time.
We saw what happened.
Yeah, and Kirk, I said it last time on Tyone's last start when you know, he said after the game, he's like, hey, man, whatever, but I came here to pitch innings. I came here to, you know, do my job. And I said they should have let him just for his own personal confidence. We talk about things that managers do to get the best out of their players, whether it's, you know, a spot sit, you know, so they can, you know, refresh and hit the restart button that we've been talking about. But sometimes, like a guy like Tyone, like, you want him to have the confidence to think that he can go five. And so sometimes you just got to let him crap the bed and let him do it so that way he can get out of his own brain. But yeah, you're right. If Hendricks can get to that point where he can get five or so innings, I think that's exactly where the Cubs team and front office would like him to get, because then they want to be able to make that difficult decision on the north side. Thanks for the call, Kirk. I appreciate it. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, filling in for Matt Spiegel. He'll be back next week. But if you miss his voice, his golden pipes, you can hear him right at 12:45. He'll be doing the pregame and the post game for the Chicago Cubs. He's also going to be doing the fifth inning. That's going to be pretty cool as well. So we get an opportunity to hear a little bit about that as well. But some more text messages coming in about Kyle Hendricks. And the reason why I bring it up, right, is because there are, again, I talked about this at the beginning of the show when talking about the Cubs. Like, are the expectations matching the reality? And when you're looking at the Cubs teams, if Spiegs was here, he'd be like, Gabe, you never know. They still could have a chance. The NL Central, la, 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 la. All right, cool. I hear that. But is that the kind of expectations you want to place on the Chicago Cubs team right now where they're at? Might be unfair. Because I think, you know, one more offseason is where you want to be. Bring in another pitcher. Bring in, you know, someone else. Find out where these young guys are playing. Have some certainty there. And so, you know, if the Cubs can be who the Cubs are without Kyle Hendricks, if he's not needed or needs to be leaned on, then to me, that's a trade asset regardless of the history that he has here in the city. Let me see. There's some other text messages coming in from the 815. Yeah. Somebody said, I'm tired of Cubs games being over by the third inning because they're down four runs. It's so discouraging. Yeah. Not Kyle Hendricks' fault, but again, this is, I can't say it enough. This is the makeup of the team. Like this is who they, like, going into the season, granted, Cubs fans were happy because of the moves that were made, but it shouldn't have been a, like, even my brother, who's a big, you know, Cubs fan meathead, NL Central in the bag. 80 some wins, you know, like, and I get it. Like, I get the fandom. I get it. We made a bet. He made a bet with me, which I'm getting crushed on right now. Who would have more wins at the end of the season, Cubs or Sox? And I thought to myself, well, this is free money. Cubs are going to be, you know, well below 500, but I didn't think the Sox were going to be. I thought the Sox would be at 500 and the Cubs would be a tick below. But the expectations, again, the team that you have out there, you were already asking questions about how the Cubs were going to score runs before the season started. You thought you were going to be leaning on pitching and defense. The Cubs thought they were going to be leaning on pitching and defense. And so, again, you know, where they're at right now, you got to start thinking, who are you going? Listen, you might not be thinking that as a Cubs fan, but Cubs front offices. So all I'm doing is just trying to mirror their thoughts. Hey, what do you think we could get for Kyle Hendricks? I don't know. Just take some phone calls, right? Michael Fulmer, somebody said, when is he getting DFA? Like, people are talking about these things. How much do we believe in the future of Drew Smyly? Jameson Taillon hasn't worked out. What can we do? Like, these are the conversations that are being had. So there's some good ones. And hopefully the Cubs can pull off a victory today so that, you know, the conversations Monday and during the week is not about how the Cubs got swept by the Reds. We got some more Cubs baseball talk on the other side because, you know, there's a lot of disappointment on both sides of town when you're looking at these squads, talking about expectations and reality. And a question I have for you as we're wrapping up this Hit and Run show before Cubs baseball is, who's disappointing you the most for your respective team? Who's disappointing you the most on the Cubs? Is it Rossi? Is it not even a player? It's the manager. Who is that for you? And who's disappointing you the most on the South side if you're a Sox fan? I know my answer. I know who's disappointing me the most. But I want to get your calls. Phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Who's disappointing you the most? I want to hear who that is and why. And Leo, I'll ask you as well, who's been disappointing you, all right? I got you. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel. We'll do that on the other side. Taking your phone calls next on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two
more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, just get back to my normal work, really. I've been doing a really good job in between from here, you know, the past couple weeks. So, yeah, it's just settling down, getting back into who I am, and from pitch one, when I go out there, just being on attack.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
That was Kyle Hendricks himself talking about, you know, just getting back in the swing of things. Of course, he had his first start. And it was actually better than I thought it was going to be very honest with you. I think that I expected him just, first of all, I thought he was going to be on a pitch count. I didn't think they were going to let him go over like 50. He ended up throwing 86 pitches. And I just thought to myself, like, all right, I'm here for the Kyle Hendricks comeback. And I posed the question before the break, you know, do you want to see Kyle Hendricks end his career as a member of the Chicago Cubs? Or with the wealth of pitching, starting pitching, that is, that the Chicago Cubs have, Kyle Hendricks, you know, finds himself in a logjam there. Do you want to see the Cubs, you know, get some assets in return? I think that'll be interesting to see. So I'm curious, thoughts are, our phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. You can also text the show as well. I'll just give you some Kyle Hendricks thoughts from the text line. From the 630 says, they should let Kyle finish his career here. It'll be nice to have one of the champions retire a Cub. It's true. You know, let him be the wily vet that just kind of, you know, you never know what you're going to get from him, but you don't really care either because it's Kyle Hendricks. I get that. From the 815 says, if Kyle can be a solid fifth starter, then great. Keep him. Based on his injury and how he pitched last week, I can't imagine getting much in a trade for him anyway. At this point, I want anyone who can simply pitch. I'm tired of starters getting rocked. Yeah, I mean, that happens throughout the course of a season. But I'll be honest with you. Every team wants a starter in Major League Baseball. Every team, if Kyle Hendricks is out there, you know, I think his fastball topped out at like 87, 88 miles per hour. Changeup was getting down to like 78, 79. So, you know, you see guys like Johan Santana with his, you know, fastball changeup combination. Like, as long as you're changing speeds, and what Kyle Hendricks does very well is attacks the strike zone from batters, you know, for batters in their eye level, right? He's hitting the top, he's hitting the bottom, and he was doing that, doing a really good job of that and that first outing that he made. So, you know, that stuff is, it's tough. I think personally that they should try to get assets in return for a Kyle Hendricks because, as I mentioned, every team needs a starter, especially those that are trying to make it to the playoffs. And if they can solidify the back end of the rotation with a guy like Kyle Hendricks, they'd be willing to give up something. If they think that their window is now, they will. I'm not saying the Pirates would take a guy like that, but look at the Pirates. If they find themselves in the wild card race or they're still at the top of the NL Central by the end of the season, do you think they would love a fourth starter named Kyle Hendricks? Of course they would. So again, I think that the options are out there and to see, you know, what you can get from. But that's the question we're asking. You want to keep Kyle Hendricks or do you want to see what you might be able to get for him in a trade? Let's go to Kirk out in Buffalo Grove. So, Kirk, what do you think should happen with a guy like Kyle Hendricks?
You know, I think you give him a few more starts. You see how he does. Obviously, he's got to shake off some rust like he did on Thursday when he started. The thing is you say, well, if you can get some value from him, you know, he is probably a good fourth or fifth starter for a lot of teams. The problem is it a player to be named later in cash considerations? Because what does really a fourth or fifth starter bring on the trade market?
It depends on if they're a desperate team, right, Kirk? Like I mentioned, you know, like you're looking at the
absolutely.
Pirates and stuff. They have a good minor league system. And you know, what you're really hoping for is just something in return for the future, right?
Absolutely. The hard part, though, is that, you know, if he plays well enough and he does get better between now and the end of July, the trade deadline, is he a third starter in somebody's rotation? Then it's like, okay, this is a no-brainer. Then you have to unload him, and hopefully you can get a couple of good starting pitchers or maybe a reliever and some cash.
Kirk, what does that look like for you? I mean, if we're trying to see what a good Kyle Hendricks looks like, is it someone that's, you know, going five innings? Like, is that the ceiling for you? Or, you know, is it someone that can, you know, minimize their walks and keep the ground balls coming? Like, what does that look like for you when it comes to Kyle Hendricks?
I think you get five solid innings out of him if he's keeping his walks down. You know, we always compare him to kind of a little bit of a Greg Maddux. He's not got the speed, but if he's got the finesse and he can outsmart the hitters, then that's what we need. That's what any team needs. You know, we don't have to be throwing 100 miles an hour. You don't have to be throwing mid-90s because everybody's up there swinging for the fences. And so if you can get a solid five, maybe six innings out of him, look at the starting rotation now the Cubs have. How many of those guys are going six innings now or more? Heck, yesterday's game, Tyone got pulled after 4 2/3. I mean,
that's a tough one, too, because Tyone wants to get through five so bad.
Absolutely he does.
So bad.
it was terrible. I was at the game, and it was terrible to watch. It's like, come on, Ross, just let him finish out the inning.
I said it last time.
We saw what happened.
Yeah, and Kirk, I said it last time on Tyone's last start when, you know, he said after the game, he's like, hey, man, whatever, but I came here to pitch innings. I came here to, you know, do my job. And I said they should have let him just for his own personal confidence. We talk about things that managers do to get the best out of their players, whether it's, you know, a spot sit, you know, so they can, you know, refresh and hit the restart button that we've been talking about. But sometimes, like a guy like Tyone, like, you want him to have the confidence to think that he can go five. And so sometimes you just got to let him crap the bed and let him do it so that way he can get out of his own brain. But, yeah, you're right. If Hendricks can get to that point where he can get five or so innings, I think that's exactly where the Cubs team and front office would like him to get, because then they want to be able to make that difficult decision on the north side. Thanks for the call, Kirk. I appreciate it. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, filling in for Matt Spiegel. He'll be back next week. But if you miss his voice, his golden pipes, you can hear him right at 12:45. He'll be doing the pregame and the postgame for the Chicago Cubs. He's also going to be doing the fifth inning. That's going to be pretty cool as well. So we get an opportunity to hear a little bit about that as well. But some more text messages coming in about Kyle Hendricks. And the reason why I bring it up, right, is because there are, again, I talked about this at the beginning of the show when talking about the Cubs. Like, are the expectations matching the reality? And when you're looking at the Cubs teams, if Spiegs was here, he'd be like, Gabe, you never know. They still could have a chance. The NL Central, la, 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 la. All right, cool. I hear that. But is that the kind of expectations you want to place on this Chicago Cubs team right now where they're at? Might be unfair. Because I think, you know, one more offseason is where you want to be. Bring in another pitcher. Bring in, you know, someone else. Find out where these young guys are playing. Have some certainty there. And so, you know, if the Cubs can be who the Cubs are without Kyle Hendricks, if he's not needed or needs to be leaned on, then to me, that's a trade asset regardless of the history that he has here in the city. Let me see. There's some other text messages coming in from the 815. Yeah. Somebody said, I'm tired of Cubs games being over by the third inning because they're down four runs. It's so discouraging. Yeah. Not Kyle Hendricks' fault. But again, this is, I can't say it enough. This is the makeup of the team. Like this is who they, like, going into the season, granted, Cubs fans were happy because of the moves that were made, but it shouldn't have been a, like, even my brother, who's a big, you know, Cubs fan meathead. NL Central in the bag. 80-some wins, you know, like, and I get it. Like, I get the fandom. I get it. We made a bet. He made a bet with me, which I'm getting crushed on right now, who would have more wins at the end of the season, Cubs or Sox? And I thought to myself, well, this is free money. Cubs are going to be, you know, well below 500. But I didn't think the Sox were going to be. I thought the Sox would be at 500 and the Cubs would be a tick below. But the expectations, again, the team that you have out there, you were already asking questions about how the Cubs were going to score runs before the season started. You thought you were going to be leaning on pitching and defense. The Cubs thought they were going to be leaning on pitching and defense. And so, again, you know, where they're at right now, you got to start thinking, who are you going? Listen, you might not be thinking that as a Cubs fan, but the Cubs front office is. So all I'm doing is just trying to mirror their thoughts. Hey, what do you think we could get for Kyle Hendricks? I don't know. Just take some phone calls, right? Michael Fulmer, somebody said, when is he getting DFA? Like, people are talking about these things. How much do we believe in the future of Drew Smyly? Jameson Taillon hasn't worked out. What can we do? Like, these are the conversations that are being had. So there's some good ones. And hopefully the Cubs can pull off a victory today so that, you know, the conversations Monday and during the week is not about how the Cubs got swept by the Reds. We got some more Cubs baseball talk on the other side because, you know, there's a lot of disappointment on both sides of town when you're looking at these squads, talking about expectations and reality. And a question I have for you as we're wrapping up this Hit and Run show before Cubs baseball is, who's disappointing you the most for your respective team? Who's disappointing you the most on the Cubs? Is it Rossi? Is it not even a player? It's the manager. Who is that for you? And who's disappointing you the most on the South side if you're a Sox fan? I know my answer. I know who's disappointing me the most. But I want to get your calls. Phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Who's disappointing you the most? I want to hear who that is and why. And Leo, I'll ask you as well, who's been disappointing you, all right? I got you. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel. We'll do that on the other side. Taking your phone calls next on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.